Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning with the first verse. Dear friends in Christ, now you know many passages of Scripture from heart, from all sorts of different books of the Bible. Our verse that we focus on during these midweek Advent services this year, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, is one of those verses that's well known by most people. It's treasured by millions of Christians. And it's a unique verse because even many unbelievers know the words of this verse, thanks in part to Handel. Because of this is one of the verses he chose for his Messiah. You know, it's hard to read the verses of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and not have that tune, that music from Handel's masterpiece pop up into your head. Now, in this verse, we see that Jesus, this virgin, will give birth to a child, and he will be called by four different names. And you may be thinking of that music right now and singing it in your head, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, isn't there five names? And you realize there's a pause in there. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that certainly is a legitimate translation. He could be saying that Jesus' name is Wonderful and it is Counselor, such as the King James Version has and thus also Handel. But it's really a better translation to take it as one name, a noun with an adjective. Wonderful Counselor. Goes in line with the other ones, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, a noun and an adjective, Wonderful Counselor. So Jesus is our counselor. Now what exactly is a counselor? Why would someone want to go to a counselor? Now usually someone might go to see a counselor if they're having some sort of problem, if they have an issue of some sort that they want worked out. Now, as a pastor, part of my calling is to be a counselor, to be a Christian counselor. Someone might come see me if they're having problems with their marriage. Maybe it's a smaller problem, some sort of disagreement, or maybe it's a much larger issue with their marriage. Maybe someone is caught in a sin, or their past actions are weighing heavily down upon them, and they're filled with all sorts of guilt. And they seek comfort and encouragement. Maybe someone might come to me if someone mistreated them and they don't know what to do, or just for some sort of biblical advice. There are other sorts of counselors, of course. Many colleges have counselors, and they might go see a college counselor, maybe if she's having problems trying to adjust to college life, or maybe she's homesick, or now she's trying to figure out what to change her major to for the third time. What do those who go to counselors look for? Well, help. Advice. A secular counselor is able to provide a safe place and a comfortable environment for others to share their struggles and maybe to receive feedback. Now, the objective there is to help someone cope with problems or to give them tools to help them overcome such problems. A Christian counselor, of course, uses God's word as a foundation. Now, he will use the law to convict and the gospel to comfort. He will use God's love for all people to assure and encourage that person truly has been forgiven from all his sins. Use God's word to comfort and use God's law as a guide to how to live a God-pleasing life in response to the forgiveness that Christ freely gives us. But Jesus isn't like that type of counselor, necessarily. He certainly is a counselor, and who exactly does he counsel? Well, as you know, he counsels all of us. You may be thinking to yourself, well, only those who have problems need counselors. And you'd be exactly right. You have problems. We all have problems, many problems. Now these words of Isaiah chapter 61 were written by Isaiah first to comfort those who were in exile, to those who were taken to a foreign land in Babylon. Those Israelites, those people of Judah in exile were the prisoners, the captives, the poor, the brokenhearted, taken captive to a foreign land where they lived as prisoners. But as we read in Luke chapter 4 this evening, these words aren't just about coming back from captivity in Babylon. Jesus said these words are fulfilled with Him. Jesus is the one who's speaking these words. We can think of it as Jesus speaking these words to us. That means that we are the poor and the brokenhearted. We are the captives and the prisoners. We are those who mourn and grieve. Why? Because of sin. We know who we are, and we know what we've done. And our sins weigh heavily upon us. We know what our sins deserve. Severe and yet a just punishment of eternal damnation. We are held captive to our sins. Prisoners of who we are and what we've done, and we can't do anything about it. And it's not just our sin. It's also the sins of others and the effects of sin in this world. Our hearts are broken again and again. A loved one betrays you and stomps on your heart, or a family member gets cancer and dies. People you look up to disappoint you. People you trust let you down. You are held captive by your own sins and the sins of others. Often you don't even realize how they affect you till later. It's the lack of love from a parent, the bitterness of a spouse, or the vindictiveness of a coworker. You are a prisoner of sin, and so you need help. You need a counselor. Now, a counselor's job is to listen and to give counsel, to give advice, to bestow knowledge, and so on. As God, Christ listens to our every prayer. But He already knows our hearts. He already knows our problems. He already knows our weaknesses. He knows our feelings better than we know our own feelings. Not only listens, but He gives advice. As we see in verse 1, the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The Lord is the chosen one. Jesus is the chosen one to preach the gospel, the good news. His counsel, then, isn't really advice, but words of comfort, compassion, encouragement. He still does this on a regular basis through His Word. Through His Word, our counselor comes to us and He speaks to us. We don't have to set up an appointment to see this counselor. We don't owe Him any money. His Word is freely given to us and available to us in many formats at any time we want to access it. In the Bible is when our counselor talks to us. And whenever that counsel is sought, He is comforting our hearts. He does this through the good news, the gospel. That's why He came down to earth, to proclaim what He has done to save us. To proclaim that He lived a perfect life that we could not, so that He could credit that perfect life to us as He took away our sins. That He suffered through the pain and agony of eternal damnation so that He can promise us that when He rose from the dead, that we too will rise from the dead. Through the work of Jesus, we have been released from our sins and their condemnation. We are no longer prisoners of who we are or what we have done, for Christ's perfection is now ours. We have been freed from sin's captivity because Christ became captive to death. And when we die or when Christ comes again, we will pass on from this world of sin filled with sickness and pain and sorrow and grief and the sins of others. And we will be given the crown of what? A crown of victory. A beautiful crown. A day of vengeance of the last day that will be fearful and frightening for all unbelievers will be a day of rejoicing for us because our Savior will return to take us home. And there we will join all our fellow believers in singing the praises of our God and rejoicing in our salvation. That is why Jesus is called a wonderful counselor. Now, a regular counselor, he might give words of advice. He might help you through certain issues. He might give you certain tools or certain things to work on in order to help you through your problems, but he offers no real encouragement and no real comfort. Our wonderful counselor, that's all he does is offer words of comfort and encouragement. He doesn't require anything of us. He doesn't require any payment. He doesn't go through a list of steps that we must accomplish in order to get what we need. He doesn't give us some tools that we need to go through, to use, and in order to fix our own situation. He makes no demands of us. He takes care of all our problems because he has already suffered and died and rose from the dead. The only thing left for him to do is to proclaim our freedom and to proclaim our joy. To remind us of his grace and assure us that we are free from our sins and released from sin's captivity. You know, many people don't want to go to a counselor. No, they see it as a sign of weakness. They figure that they can take care of their own problems by themselves. And maybe they're right. But the problem of our sin and what our sin deserves is something we can't take care of our own. But our counselor has already taken care of it for us. And so we want to see this counselor. We want to hear from this counselor on a regular basis. And if you go to a counselor, if you find someone you like, you may be inclined to recommend that counselor to someone else. Jesus isn't just a good counselor. He's just not a wonderful counselor. He is the best counselor. So we don't just want to recommend him to someone else. We want to share his word with someone else so that they too may believe and be comforted. Jesus, our wonderful counselor, by his preaching, brings the mourners, us, who were captive to sin. He brings us freedom and he brings us joy. He makes us like strong trees of his righteous holiness. He gives salvation to us who had once been in despair. He's no regular counselor. He is one filled with words of compassion and encouragement. They forgive and restore. They comfort and they lift up. And so we turn to this counselor again and again. So that we don't fall into despair. So we don't become discouraged when our sins and the effects of sin in this world get us down. But so that we would be lifted up and encouraged by his forgiving grace. We turn to him. For this counselor alone has a solution for life's biggest problem. It's given to us free of charge, won for us by his precious blood that he shed on the cross. We see today that he truly is our wonderful counselor. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, That surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.